It's Marketplace Tech for April 27th. I'm Mark Garrison, in for Ben Johnson in New York. Apple is out with its first quarterly sales drop since 2003. Sales fell 13%, much worse than Wall Street expected, sending the stock down more than 7% when the news came after the closing bell yesterday. John Butler follows the company for Bloomberg Intelligence. He's concerned about Apple's warnings of another challenging quarter ahead, but he says be careful betting against Apple long term.
I'll say this for Apple. You know, there have been times where iPhone sales have been weak in the past with growth decelerating, and they can surprise like they did in September of 2014 when they introduced the iPhone 6.
Speaking of Apple, the FBI is reportedly not going to tell the company how it broke into the iPhone belonging to one of the terrorists in December's deadly shootings in San Bernardino. The FBI originally tried to compel Apple to open up the phone. Apple refused. Then the FBI found a third party able to unlock the phone. Apple, of course, would love to know how that happened so it can shut down the vulnerability. Some heavy hitters in tech and automotive are teaming up to make the case for self-driving cars. Google, Ford, Uber, Volvo, and Lyft are launching the Self-Driving Coalition for Safer Streets, which will lobby for federal rules for autonomous vehicles. Andrew Hawkins, transportation reporter for The Verge, is with us to talk about what this could mean. Andrew, how big a deal is this, these five companies getting together?
I think it's a pretty big deal. The fact that you have competitors like Uber and Lyft, who are obviously locked in a pretty deadly competition with each other in terms of who controls the ride-sharing market. You have Volvo and Ford, who compete in the world of automobile manufacturing. And Google, who's sort of the most public company that's out there in terms of self-driving cars, all getting together under this coalition, under this umbrella organization to lobby on behalf of the self-driving car industry. We can now call it an industry because they've sort of come out and defined themselves now, I think is a pretty significant maneuver on all these companies' part.
And where, as far as the legal environment for self-driving cars in the future, is the U.S. considered thoughtful and ahead of the game, or is it one of these things that you often see in technology where it's something in South Korea or some Scandinavian country is so much better and more advanced than we have? I mean, how are we doing as far as thinking about the laws?
Well, so far, so good, I would say. It does seem that the federal government under President Obama is very excited about this and wants the U.S. to stay a leader. But at the same time, you have Chinese companies like Baidu, which is a sort of the Chinese version of Google, as well as city states like Singapore that are very much getting excited about self-driving cars. Singapore says that they're in the process of building hundreds of kilometers of test tracks for self-driving cars. They want to become like the global headquarters for companies to come and test their self-driving technology.
So, Andrew, just for those of us that are going to actually ride in these cars, what do we think they're going to look like as these become more common?
There have been a lot of interesting concepts that I think that some of the auto manufacturers have come out with recently. I know that BMW has put out a car. They have the seats facing each other inside.
So you can talk, yeah.
Yeah,
so
you,
yeah,
can have, you can have a meeting. You can have a business meeting inside your car as it drives you from one destination to the other. Tesla just recently came out with a new car that has a very streamlined interior, the Model 3. It's just got a touchscreen tablet mounted next to the steering wheel, the idea being that this is going to be a car that could potentially be a self-driving car in the future. But as far as sort of what else is out there, I think it's going to take a long time.
Okay. Andrew Hawkins with The Verge. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
There's news this week of a truly massive technology investment. Ant Financial, a payments company affiliated with Chinese e-commerce giant Alibaba, has raised a $4.5 billion round of funding. It's by far the largest private fundraising round in history for an internet company. Ant Financial is best known for Alipay, a service kind of like PayPal that is big in China. Drones are a growing presence in our skies, used by everyone from hobbyist pilots to businesses to the military. We go now to Africa, where they're delivering health care to people who struggle to get what they need. In Malawi, drones are taken to the sky to deliver HIV tests to remote villages. The experimental program from UNICEF could slash waiting times from months to weeks and potentially save thousands of lives. BBC Southern Africa correspondent Karen Allen takes us there.
This is where state-of-the-art technology meets one of the poorest countries in the world. Drones being launched in Malawi to deliver HIV blood samples for faster testing. We're in a maize field with about two dozen villagers looking on, many of them women with babies on their backs.
So she's happy to see the small plane. It's really bizarre. She's never seen it before. So was afraid it would land on her head.
It may be a curiosity for the women watching this astonishing sight, but it's no laughing matter. 10,000 children die each year of HIV-related disease in Malawi, much of this due to delays in testing, partly caused by logistical problems, remote access and poor roads. All challenges which drones may help to solve.
And this is the payload box where you can put your medicine or diagnostics inside? Less than 1 kilogram?
These are experiments being run at the moment to look at the cost-effectiveness of introducing drones into the healthcare program. Paola Santana is from the US company Matinet that's designing and operating the drones on behalf of UNICEF.
Have a vehicle that is ready to go. You have a payload box. You put the payload inside. Then you put a fresh battery in the vehicle. You open the app. You select the location where you want to send the drone. You swipe right, and basically you see the propellers spinning, and you hit takeoff, and you see the drone taking off vertically.
One of the drone's most important features is that it doesn't need a pilot on the ground. It runs along predetermined routes programmed via an app. A healthcare worker just needs a GPRS signal on a mobile phone to activate it. It's as easy as sending an email. It's been quite an undertaking to get clearance from the government, including the Ministry of Defence, to allow the drones to actually fly. But ultimately, these drones could transform the way healthcare is delivered in Africa. It could prove to be the biggest revolution since the introduction of the mobile phone.
That's the BBC's Karen Allen. I'm Mark Garrison, and that's our show today. This is APM.
Hey there, I'm Bridget, co-host of Million Bazillion, Marketplace's podcast for kids about money. I want to tell you about our email newsletter course, Million Bazillion Academy. In this new and improved course, we'll help your kids learn about crypto, credit cards, and inflation in just 6 weeks. Each lesson comes with a podcast episode, a fun cartoon, discussion questions, and an activity that lets kids apply what they're learning in the real world. You can start at any time and work at your own pace. Sign up today at marketplace.org/academy.